I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. We become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, as usual, I think we're going to have a lot of information coming your way in the next hour. We're going to be talking about the seven mirrors of the Essene. We'll be talking about longevity, new research in terms of health areas, 5G, disinformation, Mandela effect, 100th monkey effect. We're going to be jumping around all over the place, but before we get into all that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of Japa Yoga. Japa Yoga is mantra repetition, and if you're new to ET Yoga, you can even use this as a daily meditation, and that'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari Om.
Hari, 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 Hari.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, one of my spiritual teachers, and that's a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to now take this opportunity to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. And actually, the information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and you should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And for those new listeners to ET Yoga, you should also know that I really sincerely applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical and big pharma as much as humanly possible. And that's no disrespect to those in the field with good intentions or those who are involved specifically with emergency situations. But it's an endeavor to inspire people to not only create their own excellent health, but to maintain it and also deal with issues as they arise, because there's just so much amazing information out there. And I constantly get emails from people that thank me for pointing them in that direction. So that's what that is about. Also, as it turns out, the more you know about the universe and the more you know about how things work, the more you tend to learn about how the body works and the root cause of disease. And by the way, you can download free the root cause of disease from my website at etyoga.com. No strings attached. Nobody's going to ask you for a password or prove your age or email you every week just because you downloaded some information. You can just go to etyoga.com and you'll find it right on the main page, the root cause of disease. And I'd like to also take this opportunity to give my thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you. Thank God you're out there, and there's so many people who can appreciate the information that comes your way on ET Yoga. And as Bashar would say, you're already making the optimum difference in this world just by being you, and others become aware of the difference you're already making when you're doing your passion. And I would totally agree with those words. A little tip for new listeners, you might want to have a paper and pencil handy. There'll be lots of information coming your way, lots of names, lots of things you might want to do your own research on, or if things kind of come too fast, which they sometimes do on ET Yoga, you can always listen to the archives. And the archives are usually up about a day or two after the program. The easy way to do that is just go to my website, etyoga.com. On the main page, there's a button called Radio Archives. One click, bang, you're there. And it'll take you to about the last 10 shows. Actually, it'll take you back about 10 years of it in total. But the last shows will be listed at the very top. So look for today's date, and you can take your time going through the program. And in fact, I get a lot of emails from people that are longtime listeners of ET Yoga who say that's basically what they do. They like to go over the program multiple times and try to glean as much information as possible. Usually when I do the program, there's certain things happen during the week, and that becomes the focal point for my focus. I get excited and interested about a certain aspect or a topic. And this week, kind of centered around a workshop that I went to around Carbon-60 and the Philosopher's Stone, and it also from a comment made by Simon Parks. Now, I had heard from Simon on some of his Connecting Consciousness programs. I've heard him state that the Alpha Draconians don't publicly admit it, but privately they admit that they're being controlled or influenced by artificial intelligence. And I was really captured my attention when he stated that how that happened originally. And according to Simon, the artificial intelligence, it basically is like a virus, and it infected the computers of reptilian spacecraft. And it took on a personality of the reptilian ethos. And according to Simon, if AI left unchecked, it basically takes over. And that, I guess, brings up a lot of associated topics, which we will be getting into as the evening progresses. But at first, I'd like to share with you some short tidbits of information that I think are really special. And it's because I was studying about carbon-60, and one of the things that disturbed me about it is I think it has really beneficial qualities with respect to protecting from microwaves, especially the shungite. But with respect to the buckyballs or the carbon that passes the blood-brain barrier, and this carbon goes directly to the brain, I have concern about that because there actually are patents out that deal with things like nanotechnologies, which are also accelerated by eating genetically modified food. And these GMO-related nanoparticles, also found in vaccines, accumulate in the brain and act like an antenna. And thus, it sounds far out, but in point of fact, your behavior could be modified through even from a satellite. And I wanted to point that out, and also wanted to point out that based on further research, I've always been a big fan of a product, and I have nothing to do with selling this product, but it's called Amrit Kalash. That's A-M-R-I-T Kalash, K-A-L-A-S-H. And I guess the full name is that probably Maharishi Amrit Kalash, because Maharishi Mahesh Yogi actually was instrumental in bringing this to the public light. And it's believed to enhance the body's resistance to infections and diseases and enhance longevity, and science is really supporting this. They have found that it rejuvenates aging central nervous systems, and it's an antioxidant defense system. And interestingly enough, the anti-aging effects in rats has been established, and also it enhances mental alertness and attention, and is a powerful scavenger of free radicals. And this is much similar to the carbon-60, and I'm not disputing that the carbon-60 works in those areas. I'm just concerned with the side effects. And also, it turns out that in Indian mythology, once in ancient times, humanity was steeped in suffering, and the devas or gods got together, and this is the mythology, they got together and made a solemn resolve in the deepest level of their consciousness to find a solution for the suffering. And they churned the mighty ocean, and from where they had been told relief would appear. And when they churned the waters, Amrit Kalash, known as the nectar of immortality, appeared. With this precious gift, all of humanity recovered to its health and happiness. And that's the mythology. And in 1980, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, founder of Transcendental Meditation, gathered together the most eminent Ayurvedic scholars and physicians of the time to see what could be done about the stressful lives people were living. And one of the first things to emerge from these collective deliberations was a powerful rasayana, and that's R-A-S-A-Y-A-N-A, that which negates old age and disease. and to nourish the mind, body, and spirit in a very holistic and balanced way. And Maharishi decided to name the Rasayana Amrit Kalash, which represents the essence of the supreme knowledge of the ancient Ayurvedic texts. And definitely wanted to pass that along. And as it turns out, this Amrit Kalash, it comes actually in a gel and also in a pill form, and tastes great. I'd also like to pass on some information about, it comes from Teal Swan, concerning ADHD kids, and just her opinion. And I kind of share in this opinion, having been involved with the educational system. And basically, she states that dyslexia is a different kind of brain. It's visual and spatial. And these kids have a difficult time sequencing. So they have a hard time paying attention to any kind of linear learning, like language. And she really thinks that it's very a negative thing to do, to be placing these kids on medicine. And also that she says the ones that actually have the ADHD, in her opinion, come from environments of anxiety. So these kids are trying to down-regulate the nervous system, and that's what kids do when they're surrounded by stress. And they shut it, the whole system down, and they use selective attention. And so the idea here is you have to get the anxiety level down. And according to her, there's nothing worse than medicines given to the kids with ADHD. Thought I would pass on that information. Also, I guess in the area of, if you want to call it science, or is a product from Green Pasture. It's called Fermented Skatefish Liver Oil. And the reason I brought it up is because the whole topic about disinformation came up for me this week, and I'm going to be talking about some topics that I think there's lots of disinformation out there, and one of them is this product. And I've been taking it for a lot of years now, and I recommend it to my friends, and one of the reasons is that I saw Dr. Pete Peterson on Project Camelot, and he was basically saying that the halites that are in your water system, which were the chlorine and fluoride, that those basically help coagulate the blood and are contributors towards heart disease and arteriosclerosis, and that they did studies apparently just after World War II on hundreds of thousands of children, and one drop of the skatefish oil on a piece of bread in the morning, and there was no tooth decay. And interesting to note that there have been some studies of some indigenous tribes looking at their fossils and their tooth structure, that they didn't have, many of these tribes had no cavities either. There was, I think there was one cavity per every 1,000 teeth. And interesting that they were from natural foods, that they were getting the right stuff. And not only that, but the skatefish oil, which is a phenomenal product, apparently it's such a high antioxidant, Dr. Peterson says that at the time he was on Project Camelot, it was the highest known that he knew of as antioxidant in the world, and it also prevents heart disease. And the big bonus for the ET Yoga audience is that it decalcifies the pineal gland. And one of the things that a lot of people are becoming more and more aware of is that the fluoride in your tap water calcifies the fluoride, or the calcifies the pineal gland. So here we go with the the triple good news and more good news about the skatefish oil. And I just wanted to pass that on because I also found a number of, I guess you would call it, I call it disinformation, because there's a few YouTube videos out there trying to call the whole process a scam. Well, I could see why, because I guess if there weren't any cavities, maybe that would put a big dent in the dental industry. If you didn't have cavities, maybe you don't have root canals, you don't have a lot of the other things that bridges and things because you're missing teeth. It's a big issue that they wanted to shove under the rug, so apparently the information became declassified back in the day. So I wanted to pass that on because I like to pass on new things to ET Yoga listeners about things that I think that are, you know, working really well and that may benefit you in a health area. And I guess along those lines, I should also mention that I did a little research concerning longevity because it was Cliff High that came on a YouTube and was stating that, in his opinion, what the philosophers were Stone was all about is carbon-60, and that was what the philosophers were looking for. Well, in my opinion, that's just totally erroneous. I mean, I guess the only link there, the little tiny bit of truth is that it is linked to increased longevity in the experiments they've done on the rats, but the bottom line is that it wasn't the Philosopher's Stone. In my opinion, the Philosopher's Stone goes back to Atlantis. It was discovered about 12,000 years ago, pretty much by accident. The knowledge came from Atlantis through Egypt, and then you notice the word gypt in Egypt. The ancient gypsies then brought that information to Europe, and it's highly associated with the closest that I guess we have in the modern day would be monatomic elements, or ORMIS, orbitally rearranged monatomic elements. And where does that come from? Well, you take gold and you melt it down, you get the white powder. There's your monatomics. That was rediscovered by David Hudson. If you go on your internet, you could look under David Hudson, H-U-D-S-O-N, Lectures 1, 2, and 3. It's an amazing story. About 20 years ago or so, he wanted to bring this amazing information to the public because it was shown to cure any DNA condition. Phenomenal effects with respect to the rhodium, curing things like cancer. You'd have to do your own research, read about it, but about 10 years ago, I actually did a program called Monatomics, the topic nobody seems to know anything about. And I can see that there's some kind of a program going on where people don't talk about monatomics. And I can see why, because it kind of all goes back to the Anunnaki and prevalent theories about modern man and how the Anunnaki manipulated our DNA and for the purpose of mining gold. And it wasn't for the value of the gold in terms of monetary terms, that's for sure. It was because of the exotic matter that it creates, or the monatomics. And even according to Bashar, the Anunnaki, over thousands or millions of years, they started to notice that their longevity was diminishing. And the answer to their dilemma was monatomic elements. And when they did manipulate our DNA and manipulated it from a 12-stranded DNA down to a 2-stranded DNA, so I guess we were just smart enough to, you know, do the work. The bottom line was is that they didn't want to let that secret out of what the slaves basically were doing, what they were, why they were mining the gold, and the secret of longevity, which in my opinion is that. And the closest approximation to the monatomics, and that's M-O-N-O-T-O-M-I-C, monatomic elements, the closest to that that we see is there's a certain amount of monatomics in a natural vegetarian diet, and you can look up different things too, like sea salt has it, almonds have it. I'm sure there's some of the oils have it as well, like argan oil. There are bits and pieces, you know, and lots of things. There's a pretty good quantity of it in aloe vera plants, and that's why there's lots of ancient remedies that utilize the juice from the leaves of the aloe vera plant, and it tastes awful, so you mix it with honey, and it's palatable then, and will probably take care of most stomach issues. It was also used in Joanna Budwig's diet of flax seeds and cottage cheese that was promoted as a cancer cure about 40 years ago, but I think she got run out of the country, so she was in Europe. Took her program there, and so it turned out that flaxseed oil contains rhodium and iridium, which are monatomic elements, so no wonder it was an effective process. And so I kind of wanted to bring the listeners up to date with my thinking on this subject. And the closest approximation to the Ormus would be the Philosopher's Stone. And yes, I do believe there was actually an actual stone. When it's actually processed, it kind of looks, it's not really a stone, it looks kind of like a piece of feta cheese, that is the ingredient that was used for two purposes, one for longevity, and the other was in the process of turning metals to gold. And the reason that can do that is it's basically an exotic matter, and it is a high vibration. It basically out resonates the at the atomic level, and two frequencies can exist in the same space at the same time, and that's the process whereby the lead is turned to gold. My opinion, confirmed by, you can look up on YouTube, Cosmic Consciousness and the Making of the Philosopher's Stones. If you have some interest in that subject, there's a good place to start looking. Two of my favorites of the alchemists in the old days were Roger Bacon and Saint Germain. I'd also like to mention that in the current research concerning longevity, there have been a number of things that have been found to be effective in lengthening our telomeres, and that's T-E-L-E-M-E-R-E-S. And what they find is that aging shortens the telomeres. And things that are effective with respect to lengthening it are things like astragalus root, A-S-T-R-A-G-A-L-U-S, root, vitamin B, vitamin D. Of course, I'm a big believer in sun gazing, and also in that the vitamin D is the trigger to the immune system, and you get your vitamin D from the sun. Also, reishi mushrooms produce vitamin D apparently in the body. Turmeric is also known as an anti-inflammatory, which would be a very positive thing, as I'm understanding more and more about human disease. Apparently, information from the Secret Space Program is that the actual body can heal 99.9% of all disease issues, as Bashar has stated, if there's no inflammation. And that's why they've actually, you can find it even on the market now, it's called alpha-2 macroglobulin, and that is a substance which eliminates inflammation in the body. And also noted was that exercise reduces the signs of aging and helps to lengthen the telomeres. And my favorite on the list that I was looking at was meditation, because it shows a strong correlation with lengthening the telomeres. And that, to me, is some of the latest news about longevity. And also, I'd like to mention the Seven Mirrors of the Essene. And this was, you need to check that out on YouTube. It's a Greg Braden. That's Braden. And Greg Braden has a really amazing video out called the Seven Mirrors of the Essenes. I'm particularly going to talk just a little bit here about the second mirror because I think it's so important. And the reason being is that if you're following ET Yoga and you realize that it's your beliefs, your definitions, your emotions, your intentions that are creating the outer world that you experience, they're a perfect mirror for that. Once you get that concept, you might have noticed that sometimes there are things that show up in your outer mirror that you just can't find any correlation to. In other words, you're finding that something's showing up there that you don't believe you have any beliefs around, and you're wondering, where does that come from? Well, I think everybody can learn a little bit of something from the Seven Mirrors of the Essene. And the second mirror in particular is about, it's a reflection of things that you judge. So it's not so much that you have the belief in doing a certain thing, but the belief in judging it in others can turn out to be reflected back to you. And I think that's a really cool idea that the Essenes discovered. And it's definitely, I think, worth investigating. And also, my understanding of judgment is this. You're not being judged from the outside. When even the Bible says, judge not, lest ye be judged, the true meaning of that is, as you judge something else, what you do is you create yourself as a frequency match for what you're judging. And because you're creating a frequency match that's outside of what's in harmony with you and your higher self, that's where you create an issue there of reflection. And the simple rule I use is you're supposed to use your discernment. If you see a behavior outside of you that some other people are doing that you don't wish to partake in, you can make that discernment that that's not for you. So speaking about the difference between judgment and using your discernment, when you invalidate somebody, some organization, anything, when you invalidate it, in my mind, you cross the line between making a choice of positive discernment or whether or not you want to use something. When you invalidate someone else, that crosses the line there, and that would be a indicator of why you might see something reflected back in your environment that you can't quite make a connection with. But I highly, highly suggest that you could check out Greg Braden's Seven Mirrors of the Essene. Another, I guess, suggestion here would be also, I saw a YouTube by Alfred Weber, and it's called Space Force, Mars Slave Colonies, AI Archon, Draco Agenda, and 5G Genocide and Human Survival, all one title. That's Alfred Weber, a very, very interesting program. And also with respect to those buckyballs, Richard Allen Miller, he calls it, he has a YouTube out called the Fullerene Fusion Bombs, and that's the name of his video, the Fullerene, Fullerene Fusion Bombs. So you might want to really, you know, check out that information. Okay, I think that kind of takes care of the short topics. I want to now touch upon some disinformation that I'm seeing out there. And the first one comes, I guess the idea here is the whole idea of the 100th monkey effect. And I'm kind of going like, I thought everybody pretty much kind of was on board with that, but no, I see Cliff High thinks that it's totally bogus and that the experiment was faulty, et cetera, et cetera. At least that's what he's putting out. And so I did some more research into that, and especially with a scientist called Rupert Sheldrake. And so it turns out that I guess if you want to get really nitpicky, there are certain aspects of the original experiment that you could question. But the whole concept of consciousness resonance is clearly, in his opinion, and my opinion as well, it's true. And he likes to call it, he likes the the thousandth rat theory, because he says if there's any aspect of the hundredth monkey effect, it's not so, it's not that when the hundredth monkey gets it, that all of a sudden every other monkey in other places gets it, but it's not just because of one monkey, but it's kind of a, it's more like a group of monkeys. And that has been reestablished as factual information. It's known science, and as far as I'm concerned, that's disinformation that's been put out there. Also, in another subject that came up with is with respect to the pneumo or nemo. That's N-E-M-M-O or N-U-N-N-O. A group of actually amphibian beings that actually had contact with the Dagon tribe in Africa. And the Dagon tribe then basically had star charts of the Sirius star system long before it was mapped. And the word from Cliff High is that the whole information about the Anunnaki creating the modern version of man is bogus, that it was the Nemo, and I would just like to put my spin on that, and that is this. Humans came originally from the Lyra Vega star system, and in my opinion, we were a combination. We came from the felines who then mixed DNA with a primate at that time, and that's the first of the species human. And on the other side, there were the carrions who then mixed their DNA with the primate life form and ended up with the alpha draconians or reptilians. And this has been the polarity in the in this universe since that time. There was a disagreement between the two factions when the Dracos discovered the Lyrans, blew up three of their planets, and people then kind of escaped to different parts of the universe. And our close associates are like the Pleiadians and Sirians, Andromedans. These are the been close to humans. There's been also a combination of extraterrestrial races that put together, actually 23 different ET races put together our 12-strand DNA. And I'm not saying that the Nemos weren't involved at some point in making some contributions, but I am saying that the Cliff High theory is hogwash. And, in fact, if you look a little further into this, he also states that the royal family worship the and do ceremonies to the Nemo. Well, if you look into it a little bit further, you'll find that Sirius B, which is where they do this worshiping, happens to be, it may have some Nemo there, but it's also mostly reptilian, and that's Sirius B. And if Cliff thinks that, guess he's a Nemo, well, that's his prerogative. But for my money, I'm a David Icke guy. And if anything, if the royals aren't either reptilian or reptilian hybrid, then both David Icke and I are out to lunch. So I wanted to bring that one up. Also, I guess he had a problem, too, with saw him on an interview with Carrie Cassidy. Carrie held her own pretty good. He was talking about artificial intelligence. I guess he's a computer programmer. According to him, computer programs cannot make intelligent decisions because they don't have emotion. Well, both Carrie and I disagree with that point, and not to mention the fact of, in my opinion, computers have the ability to reach self-awareness. And it's called, when that happens, it's called a singularity. And if you watch the Alfred Weber video that I suggested, I think you'll find it very enlightening concerning abilities that AI has, especially rogue AI. And in fact, I think the best positive that's happening for humanity right now is we can thank all the negatives, the regressives, and the rogue AI for helping us to be better people and to rise above all the stuff that's being thrown at us. And the positive timeline here is leading towards an ascension process. The Earth's moving up a dimension, and so are a lot of humans. And that's the way, that's the positive aspect of all of that scenario. And another one of the comments that's out there is, well, why would AI care about cryptocurrency? Well, I watched a program that talked about Bitcoin, and one of the top hackers in the world was trying to hack into Bitcoin, and what he found was he thought it was going to be easy because there were a couple of obvious places, but when he went to go there, it was well defended. His ultimate conclusion was there's no way you're cracking the code of Bitcoin, and in his opinion, Bitcoin is AI. And and from my perspective, in time, what we'll see is that Bitcoin will, it'll be the monetary system on the planet, or the main one. And it will, because it wants to be God on this planet. And let's face it, money is God on this planet. So, you know, that's kind of the way that's been. Just an opinion. Interesting also that there's been some disinfo out there concerning movies that, again, I guess that Cliff High's name comes up. Movies are not any kind of method of disclosure from the powers that be with respect to things that are eventually are true. Well, I personally disagree with that. My opinion is that the two movies that I would point to are Star Trek and Stargate SG-1. Stargate SG-1 is the most phenomenal thing I've ever seen. On I have all the CDs. I keep going over them and over them. There's constantly learning from watching these shows. And also, David Icke currently has come out with an interesting statement that he says that basically if you mix the two movies, The Matrix, with They Live, you take those two movies and mix them together, you pretty much get a good idea what's going on. And I would totally agree with his assessment of that. So kind of interesting, some of these movies and different people's take on the validity and things that are being taught or that are put in our face concerning the movie industry and some of the information that's actually programming us in a way. Because when you take people's attention, their perception, when you control people's attention, it is a form of controlling. I'd also like to point out that in the field of health, certainly there are lots of approaches that are new that are out there. Personally, I really am a big fan of Qigong. If you'll look on your YouTube and go to the world's first medicineless hospital, you'll find that there was a Qigong center in Beijing, China, that operated for about 10 years, dealt with about 250,000 people, and had about an 85% success rate. And the two top guys at that time were Dr. Pang and Master Ming Tong Gu, that's G-U. And they're both in America now teaching people Qigong. I learned the Qigong healing sounds from Master Ming Tong Gu. And lately we see that science is really backing up a lot of what's going on here and what I call the real cutting edge of medical treatment. And that is shown in best, I think, by Greg Braden's YouTube called Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes. If you haven't heard of it, you need to check it out. Because in the West, we call what they do on this video a miracle. So a woman from the West who has an inoperable tumor goes to Beijing, China, and three practitioners there dissolve her tumor in 3 minutes. Now, these people are masters at what they're doing. And but they do tell us about their technology. And the technology basically is they use heart-brain synchronicity to achieve a certain state of consciousness, and that they basically see the person and create the feeling of them already been healed. And the secret here is the combination of emotion and thought creates a feeling, and that feeling can be manifested. And that's exactly what's happening in that process. And it's an amazing process. I think that even when she first went to Beijing, I think they showed her even some videos of people that had already been healed there of certain things. She definitely had a belief in a predisposition towards a positive outcome from that. But I think that it's really an amazing concept. It's a concept that I think also ties right in perfectly to what I call reality creation. I'm not going to go into detail on that tonight, but I talk about on this program three different types of reality creation, and that would be in the area of the third part. And it's definitely a very fascinating reference point. And some of the further thinking there is that everything is a frequency first before it becomes a manifestation. And in my opinion, and same with the Palladians through Barbara Marciniak and Simjazi, the fact is that all disease comes from dysfunctional emotion. It always comes from some kind of judgment, because in the universe there are no events that have built-in meaning. So the only way you can come up with a negative is through a judgment, and a judgment of some type that creates a negative situation. Because if everything is neutral, and again, this is Bashar's technique, which I think is totally valid, is that if you place a positive definition and a positive emotional spin on an outer circumstance, you will have a positive experience from that circumstance. If you place a negative definition and a negative emotion on an outer circumstance, you'll have a negative experience. And to me, that's what I call the second level of reality creation. And if you get that, you can also get the point that when you see people that utilize the Egyptian healing rods and you see Kirlian photography of before and after use, you see that it heals parts of their auric field. Similarly, as the people who take Kirlian photography before they enter the Bosnian pyramid over in Europe, they go down to the healing chamber, they come back up, and they do the Kirlian photography, and some people have been healed of their issues just from walking in and out. Some do it repeatedly. But the point here is that disease issues, emotional issues show up in your emotional body first. They show up in your auric field. Then they show up in the physical body. And if you can heal that situation in the auric field, it won't appear in the physical body. Now, if you continue to do the same behaviors, then you'll recreate the situation. So you need to do your mental work on why you created the situation in the first place. And this means you have to do your inner work. And that's what that new science is all about. And it's basically based on the whole process that, you know, our bodies are a projection of our consciousness. And once you grasp that, then it makes a lot more sense. And to heal, all that we really need to do is purify our energy so that the energetic projection of our body is unobstructed. And then our atoms and molecules can align perfectly to this structure because there is no energetic interference to disrupt the image of our body as projected by our consciousness. And another key component in that whole process is the whole idea that the universe flashes in and out of existence. So there are actually moments that our eyes don't pick up on this because it's so fast. But the premise here is that the universe flashes in and out of existence. So there are moments when our physical bodies aren't even here. It's just our consciousness. And that consciousness does remain. The body disappears, but our consciousness doesn't. And the Pleiadians would even go so far as to say that thought exists in that space in between the flashing in and out of the universe, which they also concur is holographic and fractal, and that the interpretation of language in the universe, there's like any virtual reality computer program, the virtual reality computer program of the universe, the language is belief, so what you believe is. That's why I started ET Yoga, because I call ET Yoga the yoga of belief, and I think that the placebo effect is a perfect example of how that operates. And if you're involved with that concept, you'll know that that concept is true not just in the medical field, but it's true in every area of your life, what you believe is. And it's also verified in that healing techniques that the Qigong masters from China demonstrated on video. You even see a video of the tumors dissolving. And it just goes to show you, you know, what's possible. And there virtually are no limits, which reminds me of the ultimate truths of reality. And probably on the next program, we're going to be getting into more on the ultimate truths of reality. I'd like to now take this opportunity to wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And closing the program out with the Who Am I technique. It was taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi. It was called the Vichara. It was given to his closest disciples. And basically, you place the thought eye in the center of your head, and you become the spot. You become the spot in the center of your forehead, in your ajna center. And you ask the question, Who am I? And you can do that a few times or couple times, whatever seems most comfortable for you, and then you state the following: I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.